The snow piled up fast and furious in the mountains last weekend. In California, Sierra Nevada, some places reported getting 5 feet of snow accumulation over just 2 days. Even so, the snowpack in the Sierra measures under 40% of its year-to-year average. The numbers invert as you go further north. Last weekend was less exciting, but the season-long figures are somewhat better, but only by comparison with California. As of this morning, for example, snowpack in the mountains of the Rogue Umpqua Basin measures 55% of average in snow water equivalent. Let's get a picture of snowpack from somebody who sees it on a regular basis. Scott Oviatt is the Snow Survey Supervisory Hydrologist at the United States Department of Agriculture's Natural Resource Conservation Service, NRCS, in Portland. Scott, thanks for joining us once again on The Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
Remind us again why snow surveys are still done by hand, in addition to all the telemetry sites you have out there that record things electronically.
Well, we have far fewer than we had in the past, so they are minimal in comparison to the automated measurements. But we still need to do some verifications, and in fact, we have many sites that we are doing the manual measurements, which have an historic period of record dating back to the 20s and 30s of last century. So that gives us a good comparison and analysis of what is going on for that single point in time, whereas the automated data gives us, you know, the real-time information as the conditions change. The monthly, once-a-month measurements give us that snapshot in time, and so they're valuable from the historic aspect.
This is not always an easy job, obviously. I mean, we tend to see the pictures of you guys out on sunny days, but you go out in all kinds of conditions, don't you?
Oh, definitely, and we're either snowshoeing, skiing, snowcat, or snowmobile to access these sites. And unfortunately, in conditions like we're seeing this winter, some sites we walk to and you have very low snowpack. So it's varied conditions, varied weather, and you need to get the measurements on the first of the month so we have that historical record of comparison.
It really is a point-in-time kind of survey.
That's correct, yes. And that gives us, through the years, we can look at the trends and the variability of the snowpack.
So how specific is it? I mean, when you go out to a particular place, is it like, you know, we had six sites that were there, or is it a little more general than that?
No, it's very specific. We have essentially a transect laid out, either marked by specific points or poles or markings on trees, where we measure in the same point each time and do an average over that transect to determine what the conditions are, because you have variability within a meadow in the mountains, per se. As the snow falls, it falls at different rates in different areas, and then the trees create an influence. So you need to average that out over that transect.
So are all of the snow zones across Oregon, let me see, I can call up the little issue, it's like the Willamette, the Upper Deschutes, and Crooked Basin. I mean, do all these basins get on-the-ground snow surveys in addition to the automated stuff?
Yes, they do, and as I mentioned starting off, that it varies by basin because some sites or some basins are exclusively automated and with very few manual measurements, and some are supplemented with more manual measurements.
All right. So what's the general story we're seeing in Oregon now? I mean, I have it in front of me, but it's not looking good, is it?
Well, essentially today, for snow water equivalent, which is the amount of water in the snowpack, for statewide, based upon our automated measurements, we are at 66% of normal, comparing that from 1981 through 2010. If you look back the last 3 years, for instance, 2017, we were at 137% on this day. 2016, we were at 86%. And then when we go back to our low snow year, the snow drought year of 2015, we were at 22%. So we're better than we were then. We're less than half of what we were last year on this date.
All right. So entering the second week of March, how much snow would have to fall in the next 4 to 6 weeks to catch up?
A significant amount. I mean, it varies by basin, obviously, but you're looking at something in the range of 200 to 400% of normal just to catch up to that peak, because our peak snowpack in the state usually occurs anywhere from mid-March through April 1st, depending upon location and elevation. So we are at such a deficit in all locations, just to catch up would be we'd have to have near record snowfall.
I want to come back to the figure that is used as the heart of all this, which is the SWE, the snow water equivalent. Because I mean, people can look at snow physically and think, well, it looks like it's piled really high, but the fact is, you're not really concerned about the depth, are you?
That's correct. Yeah, we don't look at the depth. We do in cases in the spring, because we want to see how much water is contained in that depth, which is referred to as density. But for the most part, we're concerned with the water equivalent as opposed to the depth. So that relates to what we anticipate seeing in stream flow runoff in terms of stream flow volumes for the April through September or April through early summer period.
Now, I know that you, I assume you sort of leave things off at the snow survey part of it, but you are still with the Natural Resources Conservation Service. So I mean, do you make projections on if it melts this fast, if temperatures reach this point? I mean, do you have a series of projections on how fast that snowpack might deplete based on what the weather might do?
Well, our models are statistical models, and they relate through historic records what the stillwater equivalent was in a particular basin and how that translates to volumetric runoff at a stream gauge, for instance, run by the Oregon Water Resources Department or the United States Geological Survey. So we can create those statistical relationships based upon historic records and predict out that we have X snowpack on this date. How does that relate to what we'd anticipate for volume? So that's our process.
Scott Oviatt's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Snow Survey Supervisory Hydrologist and the Acting State Soil Scientist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service. He's based in Portland. We're talking about snow surveys and the results. And you can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned the 30-year average. Is that adjusted annually? So when you get to another set of years, do you gonna lop off the first one?
No, essentially we follow the approach that the World Meteorological Organization uses and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that every 10 years we update that 30-year average. So it's based upon the previous full 30 years of data, so 1981 through 2010. When we get to 2020, we'll have a new set. Will be 1991 through 2020.
Okay, so it doesn't slide annually, all right?
It does not, that's correct.
Can there be major differences in those 30 years? I mean, in 30 years gives you a pretty good average, I would think, but, you know, given that we're hearing things like that snowpack is much smaller now than it was 50 years ago, or at least significantly smaller.
There can be. I mean, obviously you would see differences there, and especially in the last 10 to 15 years here in this part of the Northwest, we've seen wide variability in conditions. You know, the last 4 years that I just quoted, we've seen that huge variability in snowpack. Precipitation has remained fairly consistent, but what's fallen a lot of times is in form of rain, and it's inconsistent when it's falling. We're not getting continued storm impacts. We're getting periods of dry, warm weather in between the storm system impacts.
I want to walk through those numbers again because they're really interesting. So 22% on this date in 2015, 86% in 2016, 137% last year, and 66% of normal now?
That's correct.
So the Willamette Basin looks like it's right on it. It's sort of the average of the state, but there are parts where things look good right along the Columbia River in particular. You got 80%, it looks like, in the Hood, Sandy, and Lower Deschutes Basin.
Yes, the farther north we go in the state, we have been receiving the cooler temperatures, and it's maintained what early season snowpack we've had, plus late season storm impacts. Washington State, for instance, is above normal to well above normal throughout the entire state in terms of snowpack. But if we move south in Oregon, essentially the whole southern tier, the Rogue Umpqua Basin, Klamath, all the way across to the Owyhee Basin, is all well below normal.
Yeah, the Owyhee Basin down to 44%, Klamath at 47%. Yeah, the numbers in Washington blew me away, though, when I saw that we're talking 130% of normal in some places, above 140%, I think, at least one basin.
Yes, if we think back to this winter of the storm impacts, we were getting that northern impact, which essentially covered Washington State and then cut down the Continental Divide through Montana and northwestern Wyoming, with significant snowpack accumulations and colder temperatures, well below normal temperatures. So they've been able to maintain that snowpack, and they are poised for good runoff this year. But when we get west of the Continental Divide, it decreases as we move westward and southwestward. And the desert southwest, for instance, is at record low in New Mexico and Arizona.
So from where you sit in Portland, is this a sort of a normal Washington-Oregon split, or is it unusually heavy on the Washington side?
Well, it's significantly more, obviously, from what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. But with the last 10 to 15 years, it's becoming harder to predict or refer to what is normal because of the wide variability we're seeing at any point during the winter.
I've noticed that. And, in fact, I noticed your maps still talk about percent of normal, and it seems like meteorologists are moving off toward percent of average or that sort of thing. Because normal seems to be a rather squishy term of late.
Well, we're using average for precipitation because that seems to apply. We've switched to the normal reference for snowpack because we're using a median. Median is much more representative of these variable conditions and provides a truer representation of how the snow accumulates and melts out if we're looking at, you know, the period of average.
Let's take a call here. We have Don and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Scott Oviatt from the Natural Resources Conservation Service. We're talking snow surveys. Hi, Don.
Oh, good morning. I was just curious about the effects on the aquifer, whatever. I remember seeing the kind of the source of the Willamette River up in a secret location in the Cascades, you know, and I was curious about how long it takes, if you measure the aquifer underneath the ground and how fast it would respond to a drought, or like last year we had a surplus or an extra amount of snow.
That's a great question, and we are getting that kind of question from various groups across the state. To get the true answer, I would defer to our partners with the Oregon Water Resources Department. However, you know, in general, it's a science that they're trying to pin down in terms of measurement and relating that to the snowpack. And as of today, no definitive answer can be provided, but you make a good point. You know, we had significant snowpack last year, and it went somewhere. Did it all, you know, go downstream when we had our spring melt off, or did it transport itself into the aquifer through the groundwater because we have the fractious basalt throughout the Cascades? So I guess I'll just defer and say I don't have the answer to that question.
So there was some news recently about snowpack generally, and it spurs me to ask a question about previous 30-year ranges. Like, I mean, how is what's going on now compared to, say, the 1971 through 2000 range or earlier?
Yeah, we've definitely, as we talked about, seeing these this variability, we've also seen a reduction. So as such, when you have a lower amount in your averages, then that you're comparing that, you have a lower amount to compare to. But so that kind of tells the story that when we are less than normal in comparison, now we'd have a higher value if we were comparing it to, for instance, 1971 through 2000 or earlier.
So is snowpack overall less through time?
There are indications that it is decreasing, but I think the primary thing we're seeing is the temperature driving the influence here, where we're having either a period of very warm, dry weather in the winter, which causes, you know, mid-year melt out, which decreases the snowpack, or very early season like we saw in 2016, where in April we had record temperatures at all elevations and our snowpack essentially dissipated from near average or to just above average or above normal conditions to near nothing by May 15th.
So, which raises a question. You're obviously well versed in the meteorological implications and where the storms are coming from. And I'm just curious to know how close the difference might be between rain and snow. I mean, we're talking a couple degrees difference might have turned what was rain on the Oregon side into snow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's what we saw or we are seeing this year. For instance, in the Rogue and Umpqua basins, we are at 75% of average for our water year precipitation, and the majority of that has fallen in terms of rain, because that was early season rain. We've had a very dry December, January, and early February. We did have some snow impacts here recently, as you mentioned leading off the show, but in the fall, most of the precipitation we received is in the form of rain, so it does make a big difference, and even though we're receiving it in the form of rain, that takes away from building the snowpack, which is kind of our bank reserve for, you know, spring and summer runoff.
Well, let's talk about that bank reserve, Scott, because I've often failed to ask this question. An inch of snow water equivalent would be approximately how much snow in most cases?
Well, it varies. I mean, you hear the rule of thumb applied across the U.S. of 10, but we can get 6 inches or so here in the Cascades where it's very wet and dense, so less amount of snow to get to more water equivalent. That's why we don't really refer to the depth, and we aren't really concerned with it. We look at that primarily in the springtime, the depth, to calculate our density, because that tells us when we should anticipate melts out. When you get near 40% density, that means your snowpack is ripe and pretty much ready to melt when your temperature reaches 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's almost like waiting for the crop to mature, isn't it?
It is, very much.
So I mean, anything surprise you when you're out in the field these days? Has the equipment changed at all, or are you getting measurements that surprise you? Are you getting up to areas where you're supposed to take measurements and there is no snow? I mean, are you getting surprised over the years?
Yes, as I say, the last 5 to 10 years have brought this variability. So you go to these locations which have historically maintained snowpack through the years, you know, above 4,500 feet, and they're bare or very little snow that you can sample. And that's not a characteristic that you're used to seeing. And with our longtime surveyors that we have in many locations, they're taking pictures and they're interested in knowing, you know, what's causing this. And, you know, that's unfortunately, that's not our job. That's other people's job to do. But we want to translate that information to what it means or what it could mean for water supply implications.
Scott, we talked to the folks at Community Snow Observations a while back, the people who, when they're busy skiing or snowshoeing in the backcountry, will take some measurements. Is that helping what you do at all?
It doesn't necessarily play into our forecasting or our data collection. However, it does help because it helps us understand, you know, what's going on in the whole system and in the environment.
All right, never a dull moment in snow surveying, even when there's not a lot of snow out there. There's always something to talk about. The numbers are pretty amazing. If you look at the snow water equivalent on the Oregon side versus the Washington side, they are just that different, and I urge people to take a look at those. Scott Oviatt is the Snow Survey Supervisory Hydrologist, Acting State Soil Scientist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service in Portland. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, take it easy.